you think about the Beatles for some reason.
It does. I hadn't really thought about that, but now that you mention it, yeah.
A little bit of Scott Pilgrim trivia. Do you know Beck did the entire soundtrack, wrote all the songs?
No, did not know that.
See, you all thought Beck was just 90s.
I learn something new every day.
He is timeless. Good morning! I'm going to have to be extra peppy because our Ginger doesn't feel well, so I'm going to be this morning.
Our Ginger is, not quite with it. She's a little bit under the weather.
Our poor Ginger.
Hanging in there, though. She's here. She's here. Couldn't leave for y'all alone. No.
Oh. Isn't that sweet? Y'all see the love?
I love my Cory. Mwah, 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 mwah.
The love. So, those of you who follow the Twitter.
Uh-oh. What's going on in the Twitter? What did I miss?
Oh, nothing. Just me trying to tweet for the Microsoft Store.
Yes. I saw that. I was like, oh, hey, look. And then there was, like, audio. And I was like, oh, my God, I can hear my Cory.
That is our SynthCast, which I always forget we have. And since I was updating my phone, I realized I had it again. I said, oh, I got to use this when we go out to the Microsoft Store. Unfortunately, for the first 2 hours, since I'm not familiar with my phone, Microsoft was not enjoying the fact that I was using a Droid in their store.
Uh-oh.
Not them particularly, but just the signal. So anytime I'd go somewhere towards the back of the store, I couldn't even, signal just gone. I couldn't call anybody. I couldn't text.
Oh, no.
So I was like, ah. So after a while, I walked up front, and my phone apparently decided to tell me, oh, by the way, I can use the Wi-Fi, and you'll connect fine. I was like, oh. So I used the free Wi-Fi that they have at the Microsoft store. Y'all didn't know they had that, did you?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you can come in there and use their Wi-Fi or stand outside or around because, Microsoft store, that's some excellent Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a wonderful time. If you missed Extra Life, you got to go next year in your local city. We did a video chat with some other Extra Life people at other events, and it was just fun. Just a lot of fun.
That sounds like it.
But let me tell you, always a downside.
Corey was partying and didn't invite me.
You were too invited. Were too invited. She knows okay. She was invited. She could have been right there.
I could have been right there. It'd been awesome.
Now I'm gonna tell y'all. Here's two downsides that happened because y'all know I'm so militant. I was at peace for the most part. I got some juicy information from an anonymous source over at Texas Children's. Earlier in the week, I told you guys I passed out flyers for Extra Life, mm-hmm. and I ran across a nurse who had no idea what we were doing.
Okay.
So I got to talk to someone there at the event, quite a few people from Texas Children's. One of them told me something interesting is that part of the reason why, it's not the complete reason, a lot of it is that they have a lot of people, raising money for Texas Children's. But one of the other reasons is some of the people in the department are very much on the socialite side, and they don't actually view us gamers as, what's a nice word, viable maybe? A viable source. But I will tell you, I'm betting that that's going to change after this weekend because Extra Life raised over, and I have no drum roll to play for you, but $1 million, babies.
Holy bejeebus.
We are awesome. I do have some applause. Wait, where's my applause? $1 million just after midnight. I don't know what the final tally was, but after we hit $1 million, it was a really big deal. So congrats to those people. Other thing that irritated the hell out of me, you people out there, and you may or may not be listening, but if you got a friend that's a gamer, I'm speaking specifically to you ladies. You have a friend that's not a gamer, go ahead and lean their head close to the speaker so I can tell you, stop it. Okay, so part of my tweeting is I was trying to show pictures. We had a couple of guys that work in the Microsoft store, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
We're dressed in costume. If you look at our Facebook, you see one is dressed as Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. And we had a guy dressed like one of the characters from Assassin's Creed. Boy, he was hot. loves me a geek in cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
But so the one that's dressed as Sub-Zero, who is actually from South America, nice accent, ladies, cute. Mm-hmm. Was standing there talking to these girls. I had already handed them flyers, and they didn't want to take them, but I'm very pushy, as you all know. They had their arms folded, and I said, you better take this. And so after I gave it to them and they read it, Then they start jumping onto Sub-Zero. Why are you dressed like that? And he says, it's a costume. Well, why? Why would you just go outside like that? I'm like, did you not know you were passing by a gamer event? Did you not see the big-ass sign that says Extra Life Gamers? Said, oh, yeah. You are.
Oh, wow. People, what is wrong with you?
I heard one pass by, and the lady says, or it's a girl and her mother. Why are they staying up all night? And the girl, who was also holding a flyer and had read what we said, said, because they're crazy. Really?
We're not crazy. We're flipping awesome.
Let me just say this to you out there. People who are not gamers, the geek shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. True mother flipping story. We are awesome, y'all. What is wrong with you? Seriously, we all.
So I will tell you this. You may think, oh, I have on my Prada shoes. I will wear the Prada shoes, and I'm a geek. I will still look good as I walk over you, not knowing how to use your iPhone.
True story.
So I had to get that off my chest because I couldn't do it there. You know, I was at Microsoft's event. I was a guest, so I couldn't say anything. I also didn't do something else because this was not about Gamer Girls Radio, although we were tweeting. I did not say who I was. I didn't take any business cards. I didn't wear any shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So this was about the kids. So I was very serious about that. But I'm very happy we raised all the money we did. Fun was had. Microsoft knows how to throw a hell of a party. We were fed. We had games. What more could you want?
Yeah, I should have driven down there.
A store full of games. I'm telling you, anything you wanted to play was there.
That is awesome. And that sounds so...
No waiting.
Like y'all had so much fun.
There was no waiting. They had the Microsoft tables all working. All the laptops were open. Everybody was sitting at a laptop. It looks like a weird school when I walked in. Everybody was sitting down typing. You know the expression that we have when we're focusing.
Yes.
Kids were running everywhere. They had a competition, too. They gave away. They had a Dance Central competition. So you guys missed some fun at your local Extra Life tournament. Or maybe you can head up one in your city if there wasn't one because they need the help. And we do want the Children's Miracle Network to know that we are just as much a part of the community, the world community, as they are. Just because
exactly.
Play games don't make us crazy. Anyway.
I'm going to lose my voice. No, just because we play games does not make us crazy.
Well, we are.
That's whole other issues altogether.
We have escapism issues. Okay, so.
Would
you like for me to go first?
No. Pirates, be warned, we're after you.
Uh-oh.
Well, they're after you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Pirate Bay co-founder finally sentenced in absentia.
No.
Yes.
Is this the end of my Pirate Bay?
Yes. Pirate Bay co-founder Gottfrid Svartholm has finally been found guilty in Sweden's Court of Appeal despite not being in attendance. Svartholm was not included in the initial verdict because he was absent from the court hearings due to medical problems. At the time, the Court of Appeal decided to schedule a separate hearing for him to take place at a later date. Last November, the Swedish Appeal Court found three people behind the Pirate Bay guilty of contributory copyright infringement offenses. The trio were handed prison sentences and ordered to pay millions of dollars in damages. This week, the court ruled that the district court's ruling from 2009 against Svartholm will be made permanent because of his failure to appear once again. He has been sentenced to a year in jail and to pay his share of 30 million kroner, which is $4.48 million, in damages. The verdict cannot be appealed. Speaking to Torrent Freak, Peter Sund, one of the three remaining defendants, said that he is appalled by how the court handled this case. He says, I think it's kind of strange putting a guy into jail because he's too sick to appear in court. Also, nobody is in contact with him. For all we know, he might be dead since no one can reach him. This is actually a really bizarre step from the Swedish court. He's found guilty because he can't defend himself, he added. Way to go, democracy. It'll be interesting to see how they will actually try to find him and put him into jail. If he's not alive, will they put his gravestone into a jail cell for a year? Sunday and the other two remaining defendants plan to take their case to the Supreme Court. There they hope for a final decision in their favor. Sunday is convinced that the outcome will be a good one for them. He says, in the end, we'll win. I'm certain of that. It's just that we don't have the same lobby power as these groups we're fighting. But the law is on our side. However, what we've learned is that having the legal right is not the same as winning in court. It all depends on who's paying the judges. Ouch.
Well, he may be right in that instance.
He may be. Yeah. I'm curious where this other guy is. I mean, they say they can't get a hold of him. Don't know whether or not he's alive or dead.
You might want to
just lay in low, or
yeah, you might want to make sure that your people are alive before you start sentencing them.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I'm thinking I'm going to go with that. If they sentenced him, they probably know he's alive. They probably know his whereabouts and know that he's purposefully ignoring the summons, you know?
All right. Here's more lovely. Hackers.
More hackers, nice.
Yes, apparently they spend a lot of their time educating other hackers. Mm-hmm. According to VentureBeat, hackers spend about 25% of their time in forums educating other hackers about beginner tips, according to a survey by cybersecurity from Imperva, hackers devote a lot of time to hacking tutorials, which means there is a strong and steady interest in content related to learning the tricks of the trade. About 22% of the discussions related to hacking tools and programs, while 21% related to website and forum hacking. They're saying this kind of analysis gives everybody a bird's eye view of where hacking is going and the topics that are in the forefront of hackers' minds, and therefore should be in the forefront of the minds of security professionals. So the hackers talk about attacks commonly. And the number one type of attack they discuss is related. Is related distributed denial of service when hackers use lots of traffic to shut down a site. And about 22% of the discussions followed by SQL injection, which is 19%, spam, 16%, brute force, 12%, and shell code, which is 12%. The hackers use forums to communicate with each other, brag about their exploits, engage in a kind of black market commerce, and socialize with other hackers. But law enforcement officers frequently observe hacker forums as well. The survey focused on a major hacker forum with a total of 250,000 members. Imperva applied its content analysis capability to analyze chat sessions by topic using specific keywords. If they're bragging about exploits, you all need to be picking them up.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
I'm not understanding. Yeah, I'm not understanding that just letting them run rampant. We just want to keep an eye on them. You're not stopping them from doing anything, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they need to do something about this. This is getting ridiculous. All right, I'm going to go with more bad news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, people. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning. UK and neuroscientists claim games can cause dementia in children. All right. So two UK tabloids, The Sun and the Daily Mail are highlighting comments from a neuroscientist who claims that video games can cause dementia in children. Neuroscientist Baroness Susan Greenfield told a gathering at the Science Center, part of the Sherborne's Girls' School, endorsed it this week, that online gaming and activities such as Facebook can disable connections in the brain and in extreme circumstances cause dementia in children. She also said that on average, children spend around 2,000 hours a year either playing games or doing other things online. She says screen technologies cause high arousal, which in turn activates the brain system's underlying addiction. This results in the attraction of yet more screen-based activity. She went on to say that such activity could cause connections in the brain to be temporarily disabled or even inactivated permanently by degeneration, i.e. dementia. Other symptoms she mentioned included shortened attention spans and a tendency for reckless behavior. She also emphasized that children need to spend more time outside and less time on the internet or playing games. Baroness Greenfield is professor of synaptic pharmacology, the study of drugs that act on the synapses, at Lincoln College in Oxford, as well as a member of the House of the House of Lords.
I'm glad you corrected that.
Yeah. While her comments make great fodder for the UK tabloids, both reports do not mention any specific research cited by Greenfield during her speech. We doubt any such research exists because her comments are simply over the top. All right, so if you want to read The Sun or the Daily Mail's reports, you can go over to GamePolitics.com this morning and look this article up. They've got links to both.
Jay is offering you a bite of or half of his sandwich to make you feel better.
Oh,
it's
sandwich. Jay.
Make sure I say the right
sandwich. Jay, I know, and I haven't even said it yet. Jay, boobs. Okay. I know. I didn't even open up Twitter yet this morning. Oh, that tells you how far off I am.
Oh, poor Ginger May.
Poor Ginger May needs to go back to bed.
Ginger May's not feeling well.
No. Jay, you changed your picture.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Sorry, I was going wow over the $1.1 million that was just linked. Wow, that's a lot of money.
For what?
For Wii Gamers.
Oh, you want to tell us about that later. Never mind.
Yeah, Extra Life Gamers. There we go.
Oh. Yeah, I was like, we made some money?
No.
All right. Well, I have some interesting news. I have a short story, and then I have a second one.
Okay.
I got to clear my throat. So apparently, some of you out there didn't care about the 4S and its lacking capabilities. Apple still sold over 4 million iPhone S's in the past 3 days after it hit the market. More than double that of the iPhone 4 in the same period, making it the fastest-selling phone ever.
Wow.
Over 1 million of you pre-ordered the phone in the 24 hours after it was announced. More than 25 million customers have also downloaded the new iOS 5 operating system for their Apple handset. The iPhone 4S is off to a great start, with more than 4 million sold in its first weekend, the most ever for a phone, and more than doubling the iPhone. You know what? Phil Schiller, we already said that, he's the worldwide VP of Worldwide Product Marketing. He said the iPhone 4 is a hit with customers around the world, and together with iOS 5 and iCloud, is the best iPhone ever. You know, I'm hearing some dissension amongst the ranks. The people are loving the iPhone, but they're not that excited about the cloud business.
Yeah, I just don't. My main deal is a lot of these companies are moving away from unlimited data. And yet you have these cloud capabilities, so you're giving us these options of extreme data manageability. I don't know. My brain is all slow this week, so bear with me. And then you're going to charge us through the nose because you've taken away our unlimited data.
Well, we never had unlimited data. That's the problem. Only if you're at Virgin Mobile. Do you have unlimited data?
I could have sworn AT&T used to, and so did Verizon.
Well, yeah, they did, but there was no actual data then just yet.
Okay.
It's when they started realizing people were using their phones for the internet and texting is when they started charging. So it wasn't actually data just yet, not the way we know it.
All right.
Wow. Okay, and then this one will get Ginger all excited. Are you sitting down, Ginger?
Yes.
Well, apparently this weekend during New York Comic Con, Microsoft revealed how Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary works with Kinect.
Oh, wait. I got to know, is it on Rails? If it's on Rails.
That I don't know, but I will tell you this much. Through Analyze Mode, you can scan items in the single-player campaign by moving the targeting reticle over them and saying the word scan. And items you're able to scan include vehicles, characters, enemies, and, yes, weapons. And library is where you use gesture controls to view the information about the items you scan. So your library will, of course, grow as you scan more items. And lastly, you can use your voice to switch the visuals from remastered to classic and vice versa, reload, and, yes, throw grenades.
Wow.
As they do Halo, so they're saying, do Halo Anniversary's Kinect features provide a glimpse into how Halo 4 will integrate Microsoft's motion sensing tech?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in August, Microsoft stressed Halo Anniversary's Kinect features were cool, but said gamers shouldn't get too excited by them. Frank O'Connor is saying he doesn't think it's something that people will need to be hyper excited about, and he's a franchise development director. He says it'll be cool, but it's not something you'd put on the front of the box. I don't want to downplay it. But I think of it like this. I use voice on Netflix, and it's awesome. And that's what this will be, something that enhances your overall experience. Earlier, 343 said Halo Remake's Kinect features would be optional. And just to let everybody know, the manager at 343 is saying that the Kinect features that they're exploring with Halo Anniversary are, in fact, optional and will not affect your core gameplay experience. He said their mission from day one has been to deliver a faithful recreation of the game, and they demand and remain dedicated to seeing that through to completion. Meanwhile, Microsoft has announced that the Hang 'em High map remake, High Noon, is included with Halo Anniversary. Don't do that. I love that game.
Wow.
Why would they do such a thing?
Because they want Corey to cut them. That's exactly why.
If it's the High Noon that I'm thinking about, that's on the iPad, and I thought, leave it alone. It was fine the way it is. One of the few games that uses that whole camera and the, you know, the tilting screen and stuff. Don't mm-hmm. just leave it alone.
Yes. Don't. Mm-mm.
Just bad.
All right.
What you got, Lisa? What you got?
I have got Angry Birds, Watch Out. Another pointless game may be coming our way. All right. So David the Hoff Hasselhoff wants his own video game. Oh, yeah. All right. So David the Hoff Hasselhoff wants to stay hip and current with the kids. So he's doing it the way he knows best by getting beat up in cheerleader outfits and chicken suits in an ad campaign for a video game. The Baywatch actor is Electronic Arts' latest pitchman, and online videos for Burnout Crash, a racing video game on Xbox Live with a motion controller, Kinect. But he's not stopping there. He wants a game of his own, he told Reuters this week. He says, I've wanted to develop my own game, so this was a way of seeing if this works, and maybe we can take this one step further with using the same concept as Burnout Crash, and maybe doing something with the Hoff. Hasselhoff said that he's in talks with EA about developing some kind of game or app. The video game company could not immediately be reached for comment. The 59-year-old actor said he signed on with EA after the company sent him the game, and it reminded him of driving stunts he'd helped create on his 1980s TV show, Knight Rider. He says, I saw the game and said, this is what Knight Rider is about. Knight Rider, the TV show in which Hasselhoff fought crime in a talking car, went off the air in 1986.
Good God. Oof. That hurt me.
I know. It was so long ago, right?
Not 96, but 86.
86. I was 5? Yeah.
Good Christ.
Hasselhoff, no, you do not need a game. Do not. Oh, good Lord, please don't.
Who wants the game?
And what would this game be about? Would it be about, you know, sitting on the floor eating a messed up looking hamburger and talking drunk? Because, sorry. Or maybe we'd be doing the whole slow motion running in the little red shorts.
Ginger, you ain't right.
And what's wrong, what's even worse about that is I'm sitting here doing the whole little arm motion.
I figured that you were. I pretty much figured you were. I understand. Sometimes you have to do it when you're sitting there. It just makes better sense. assuming I can breathe.
You gotta breathe.
Assuming I can breathe here shortly. I do have some charts today. They sent them to us at 4 o'clock this morning. I love the peoples, Yuki. They are serious business. At 4 o'clock this morning, I was lying there, and I hear ding, ding. I was like, what is it? Oh, charts are here. Yay. They've only been late once. They do not play around. So let me tell you, in case you're one of those people that likes to keep up with the Gaming Joneses, what's everybody playing? Mm-hmm. Coming in at number 10, Jonah Lemieux Rugby Challenge.
Wow.
Number 9, F1 2010. I don't know what that is. 8, Zumba Fitness. 7, Dark Souls, which I'm still trying to figure out if I want to play. 6, Gears of War 3. 5, Pro Evolution Soccer 2012. What is with all the rugby and soccer? You UK people are not playing around. 4, Rage. 3, Just Dance 3. 2, FIFA 12. And number 1, as our friend Hanny Spice was saying she wanted to know about, Forza Motorsport 4 is number 1. I think that has a lot to do with the ads that they've been running. That the Kanye West song, No mm-hmm. One Man, you know, that song also helped the movie Limitless do so much better because it went with the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
So they've been running it with the Forza Motorsport ads. I really think it has to do with the ads because I'm just going to tell you, no disrespect to the developers, Forza Motorsport and Gotham City Racing are two of the most boring driving games I have ever played in my life. I just yawn when I play.
Oh, Jay, you're wrong. You're so wrong, Jay.
Did he say something, Smarmy?
Yes, talking about the Hoff. He says, ooh, give me SingStar, the Hoff.
Yeah, we're not speaking to you anymore.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to need for them, you Forza Motorsport people, to give me something. This is why I like Burnout. There's explosions. It's exciting. I know when I run into the pillar that my car is going to flip and explode, and it's going to be spectacular.
See, that's all she likes. She likes to see the big explosions.
I do. I love the explosions in Burnout. I do. We used to play for hours, me and some French guys and other people from Game of Nation. I don't know what they were saying, but you don't need to speak the same language to race for me to run you off the road. You really don't.
That is so hot.
So I'm just like, I want that back. And sadly, let me just tell Jay this. The Burnout that they released the other week that we're supposed to be playing, I took a look at it, and I was less than enthused. That's why I haven't played it. It's not. Yawn.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do, I guess, two, because this is a really short one. Really short one. I'm pulling this from a Yahoo Tech section in the gaming section. Zynga plans to list stock on NASDAQ.
No.
Mm-hmm. Online game maker Zynga Incorporation is planning to list its stock on the NASDAQ stock market. Zynga said in a filing Thursday with Securities and Exchange Commission that it expects to list its share on the exchange under the ticker symbol ZNGA. The San Francisco-based company filed for its initial public offering in July. When its shares will begin trading or at what price remains undetermined. Most of Zynga's games, such as Farmville and Mafia Wars, are played on Facebook. These games are free to play. Zynga makes money by charging for virtual items to improve play. The company is working on a service called Project Z that will serve as an online play area, although players will still need to have a Facebook account to log on. Oh, wow. I don't know what to think about this. All right. All right, since that was a short one, I'm going to do another one. This one's coming from GamePolitics.com. Valve, $2 million in Team Fortress 2 microtransactions. Oh, yes, some of you people are nuts. All right, so Valve Software claims that more than $2 million has been generated from Team Fortress 2 microtransactions. The popular free-to-play team online shooter allows players to create, buy, and sell virtual items to wear during matches. Apparently, fans are fond of the system and are willing to spend real-world cash on luxury in-game items. Valve also said that it plans to update the system with a new interface to make it even easier for customers to create and sell virtual goods. The original game was released way back in 2007, but has evolved over the years. This year, Valve moved the popular game to the free-to-play model. With microtransactions in place, it seems that the model is working well for Valve and for players.
Yay!
$2 million. That's good. That's a good chunk of change, people.
Indeed. Indeed, my good sir.
None of that in my pocket.
Am I on mute? No, I'm not.
No. Oh, you're here.
I'm like, I don't know if I'm on mute or not. Okay, I've got some interesting but sad. I guess it is sad for them. Project Zomboid suffering yet another setback after they were robbed. The Andy Stone, the Newcastle studio developing browser-based survival game Project Zomboid, has suffered a further setback to development after burglars stole two laptops and a large portion of recent code from the flat where the two developers live and work. I know. Ugh. The code said to represent the majority of work done since the last update had not been backed up off-site, meaning that the next update will experience a heavy delay. It's in the latest of a long line of unfortunate events which has struck the studio after a rash of piracy in which the game's code was stolen directly from the servers using bandwidth that the company had to pay for itself. And PayPal locking, remember we told you about this, locking the game's purchase account for 180 days with no real explanation. While Will Porter, scriptwriter to Project Zomboid, and games journalist wrote about the incident on the game's official blog, that would be Snow White. He says, I won't beat around the bush, he writes. The Indie Stone has just suffered a major setback. The Newcastle flat where Lemmy and Binky live and work was burglared this evening, and so far the clearest things taken are two computers and Lemmy's credit card. Project Zomboid was regularly backed up from the machine to machine, but rarely and sadly and infuriatingly external. We have lost an awful lot of work. Mash and Binky don't even know this has happened yet. A little over an hour ago, after his tweets on the subject, we both agreed it'd be best if I wrote a blog here to calm fears. He clearly isn't able to currently. The tweets in question, of course, have since been deleted along with the account, but originally cataloged several abusive verbal assaults accusing developers of both incompetence and criminality. Many customers have already paid for the game in advance at a discount rate for just five, it looks like, well, I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. How we are with the Domino Nations, but it's five, whatever it is, for all versions from alpha to the final release code. He said this will severely delay the next update, which was very near completion, continues Porter. He says, I personally just finished my work on it today. One of the final things to do on the to-do list, and it had it ready for input tomorrow, excuse me, to Project Zomboid. Project Zomboid, however, will come back stronger. You guys are either going to be the greatest success story or the worst failure in history, and it's not even going to be your fault.
I
not
know,
completely.
And that's almost what's worse. That's just so sad.
Yeah, he's not even something that you did. Poor babies.
Poor babies. That is just... And some of you people, what is wrong with you people stealing other people's work and stuff and code? And on one hand, I mean, is the game that good that you have to steal it before it's out?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Oh, wow. That is nuts. All right. Speaking of nuts, GamePolitics.com this morning. Austrian court dismisses charges related to Islamophobic web game. An Austrian court had found that right-wing Austrian politician Gerhard Kurzmann was not guilty of incitement related to a video game that required players to target and stop mosques, minarets, and muezzins as they appeared on screen. Alexander Sergut, the head of a Swiss advertising company that designed the game, was also acquitted by the court. The game in question is called Moschi Baba, which means see a mosque in the Austrian-German dialect. The game was commissioned by part of a campaign for regional elections last year. When it was posted online last year, it received widespread criticism. On Friday, an Austrian judge rejected prosecution arguments that the game was set up like a shooting gallery. The prosecution said that it planned to appeal the ruling. Gerhard Kurzmann is a central figure in the Freedom Party, which has risen in popularity mostly to its exploitation of Islamophobia.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. Who is playing this? In what world was this in any way? No, I'm sorry. I'm going to agree with the people who are trying to get this taken away, get this stopped. This is... No. I don't want to see a game about killing Jews. I don't want to see one about Islamophobia either. I don't want to see one where, you know, gay guys are beating up on women. So, yeah.
A few months ago.
Yes, exactly. I think all these games are stupid, and I think the people who made them, I think y'all are narrow-minded and shallow.
So we're cutting, is what you're saying?
Yes, yes. We're going to cut. We're going to cut deep, straight to the white meat.
Okay, Snow's trying to find out if I got a text. Okay, anybody that texted me, I say after the Microsoft event, I didn't get anything. My phone was full.
Oh, no.
I have some video and all kinds of stuff to post up, but my phone is full. I was like, mine is just awfully quiet because I have everything to the phone. Apparently I have some cloud capabilities I didn't know about, but everything's hooked, but it still saves some of the information, so everything was full. I got nothing.
Wow.
Sorry, y'all. I'm trying to get away from the Jewish killing game. People.
Well, yeah, this is an Islamophobia game, but, I mean, still. I mean, what was it? We had one a while back where the guy made, it was...
The gay superhero that won.
It was the gay superhero who beat up straight women, and then there was the one where it was... the Jew fighting to get out of the camp, and he was killing everybody. And then all these.
See, there's a way to do these things that makes it art and not stupid. The Jew trying to escape the concentration camp, if done properly,
my brain's all.
It's okay, Ladybug. Trying to escape the concentration camp can be done in such a way that it's art, that it's beautiful, that it's educational at the same time, a chance to tell a good story and teach people some things. You know, this is how horrible it was. This is what was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, create a character or, you know, you could even throw a little Anne Frank in there, just, you know, that they run across her. There's all kinds of things to do, but sometimes they go to the extreme stupid side.
Yes, yes. And this is targeting on one religion, and they're saying, you know, they're pretty much trying to say that everybody who is Islamic is bad. And that's not true. That's not true.
Well, we had the same issue when I told you the Left Behind game some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wasn't a white male Christian was evil. Everybody. Not just one group. Everybody. If you were not this particular group of people, you were evil and you were going to hell, according to the Left Behind game.
Wow, that's not cool. That's not cool at all.
I think I got offended. I'm not Islamic or Muslim, but I got offended playing the game for them. And I think they had different degrees of evil, and you were supposed to convert them if you could, because then that would make them not go to hell. And they, somebody, yes, and whoever did it put a great amount of work and detail into writing out the description for each and every NPC. Keep in mind, this is a an RTS. You know how many NPCs you have? Imagine, if you don't know what an RTS is, remember Warcraft, before it was World of Warcraft, that game, and you had all your little workers? Imagine somebody writing a name and description for each one of those little workers you create. And so somebody put painstaking amount of information in doing so, and then to have it be so just full of religious persecution and horrible, horrible game. I will forever lampoon that game. You guys never, ever come back to gaming.
Yes, I agree. Don't ever come back to gaming, because that would just irritate me to even see.
Child.
What is wrong with some of you people?
They have nothing better to do. Put your brilliant minds to work doing something else. All right, I got two shorties. Mm-hmm. Two shorties. It's a lot of short little news stories today. Two shorties. All right, so first I want to share with you, NFTS is now offering a game design and development MA. This is a National Film and Television School. Would now offer a two-year, I think MA is Master in Applied Science. I could be wrong. In games design and development, and applications for 2012 are now being accepted. Eidos Life President Ian Livingstone recently gave a presentation at the school, setting a standard for the types of tutors and instructors the school hopes to offer students. The course will start in January next year. We'll cover design, art, animation, production, and help students build experience and contacts with events, conferences, and studio visits. The National Film and Television School opened way back in 1971 and has about 220 full-time students. Awesome. Okay, now on to some other juicy.
Juicy!
Yes, we're wondering about the PlayStation Vita. Well, apparently the 3G version of the PlayStation Vita is proving much more popular with Japanese pre-orders than the standard system, according to a local retail expert there and Eurogamer. According to a tweet from retailer Shinobi, not Shinobi, don't get all excited, I said Shinobi, as translated by Siliconera, 65% of all reservations taken on the first day of pre-orders last week were the 3G-enabled unit. 82% of all those placing a pre-order also picked up a memory stick, with 72% choosing a 32-gigabyte card. Shinobi also reported that the software pre-orders for the new system got off to a slow start, with an average of 0.57 games purchased per unit. Still, it's early. The Vita formally launches in Japan on December the 17th, with the European rollout expected early next year.
Wow. Next year. Why is everything always next year? Why can't things be next year?
It's getting close to the end of the year, so they're like, you can release your Vita now or at the holidays, but if things go wrong, you're going to get much more flooded because most people are home. Especially in the UK, their system, their school systems work a lot different than ours. A lot of UK schools are, you know, in school, and they're actually getting out like this month to be out until January.
Yeah.
So that's being flooded by them, and then our kids are out, you know, those few 2 weeks, and I think they go to school at a total of 4 weeks the entire time, so they have about a month off. It's just not all together. It's, you know, the time at Thanksgiving and then the time at Christmas, and you have all these people home. And if you're like me, when I worked in a traditional office, I never took sick days. I never took vacation days. So at the end of the year, they would force me to take it.
Uh-huh,
so
I would
also be getting off right about now to never go back until January.
That would be nice.
It was very, very nice. Actually, it's nice for about 2 weeks. You know, I'm a busybody.
This is true. This woman cannot sit still.
Yeah, I get all the stuff that I didn't get done, and then it's like, okay, what now? And then I start hanging around the office, and they're like, you're not supposed to be here.
I'm bored. Let me work.
God, I've been to the museum 6 times. I cleaned my yard. I need something to do. I played all my games. I beat them. I beat World of Warcraft. No, I'm kidding.
Speaking of World of Warcraft.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. BlizzCon 2011 begins this week.
Yay!
Yay! All right, so Blizzard Entertainment's two-day festival celebrating the Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo game universes and their global player communities begins on Friday, October 21st at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. The sold-out show features a wide range of events and activities, including discussion panels with developers of Blizzard Entertainment games, intense esports competitions featuring top pro gamers from around the world, costume and dance contest hosted by comedian Jay Moore, and an epic rock concert headlined by the multi-platinum Grammy Award-winning Foo Fighters.
Yay!
Yay! Yo. While tickets to BlizzCon sold out in seconds, viewers can watch at home by ordering a BlizzCon virtual ticket offering over 50 hours of comprehensive live HD coverage of the events, including Foo Fighters' performance, across 4 channels globally over the internet. Those who order a virtual ticket will also receive this year's BlizzCon exclusive World of Warcraft in-game pet, the fearsome-ish Mercablo, as well as yet-to-be-revealed StarCraft II in-game gifts. All right, so for more information on the virtual ticket, you can find that over at blizzcon.com/live-stream. All right, and what is this? Mike Morhaime, CEO and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment, says, "Every BlizzCon, we look forward to meeting up with our players and sharing the latest news about our games with the world. We've put together a great lineup of events this year, capped off with an awesome Foo Fighters show, and we can't wait to provide attendees and everyone joining us from home with an unforgettable event. Previous BlizzCons have featured a variety of exciting events and announcements, including the unveiling of World of Warcraft Cataclysm, the first ever public hands-on with Diablo 3, and an epic rock performance by Ozzy Osbourne and Tenacious D. This week, Blizzard Entertainment also launched a series of special charity auctions, giving game enthusiasts a unique chance to own a piece of World of Warcraft history. Original Hewlett-Packard Proliant server blades that once housed hundreds of different realms across North America and Europe. The net proceeds from The net proceeds from the auction will benefit St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. All right. One thing y'all have not mentioned here, people, and I'm a little bit irritated. I want to know, are you gonna show us your new MMO or not? That's what I want to know. Because I do not want to pay for online access unless you're gonna be showing me this MMO. No, if you're going to tell me that, oh, yeah, we're going to show it to you, we're going to tell you when it's coming out, we're going to tell you about it, oh, yeah, I'm buying tickets, I am there.
Tell you when we want to tell you, Ginger.
Apparently, they've been teasing us for, the past 2 years with the new MMO? I want to know what it is. I want something to look forward to.
Give me something to sing about.
Yes.
I think I'm going to sit outside and play Harvest Moon. That's how bored I am. Okay, it's time to take a break. I am. I'm going to sit under the tree in my front yard and play Harvest Moon. Y'all think I'm joking.
Oh, that's sweet.
See, that's how I get my fresh air. All right. It is time for us to take a quick, very quick break. Snow White said she's going to drop snow on all of you.
She has snow?
No, she just wants to. She is Snow White.
She's getting snow already. I'm going to.
I think they're getting changing leaves up there. That's what I heard from my peeps up in that area. And since Jay Dukes is not sharing his sandwich, I'm going to cut him.
Jay, you're so rude. You're so mean, Jay.
I told you. And this is for you. You guys know where to find us. I'm hoping you can hear me.
Now it's time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, 'cause they'll find you.
Ginger, you don't watch Walking Dead, right?
I do not watch TV, so no.
Well, you can find it online.
I probably should.
Yes, yes. I concur that you should. Walking Dead is written and directed by Frank Darabont, but he didn't write it. But it's a comic book about zombie apocalypse.
And it has become a TV show, and it's actually very good. It's in its second season. But I was most interested last night that they started doing a talk show dedicated solely to the show. Yes, and I thought, and they did it live, much like we do live is where it's at. You people that are recording your podcasts and talk shows, you are amateur-ish. If you can't hold it down live...
This is very true. Very true.
Yes, I threw the gauntlet down. Do it live. Let's see how good you are without having to pre-record and rewind and let's fix that. No, you hear us here, we do it live. But awesome talk show. I love the whole discussion about zombies. And the reason we're mentioning it is, we love zombies here. It's Halloween time.
Love us some zombies.
I enjoyed that. I was about to change the channel. I was very, very impressed with the way the guy handled himself. So if you're not watching The Walking Dead, like Ginger doesn't watch it on TV, you can go and, I believe, watch it at AMC.com. No, they are not paying us, but maybe shortly. But maybe soon. Go check them out. They also have new episodes this season, meaning you've seen some zombies and you probably wondered how they became zombies. The one that stands out most particularly is... I think it's the first or second episode. There's a lady that's crawling on the ground. She has no legs, no lower part of her body, period. And she's crawling, and she's a zombie. She barely has arms, and she's really, really decayed. Like, she shouldn't be able to move, but she is. And their newest episode is supposed to explain how she got that way. So you get to see her before she became the zombie and what happened. Because none of us know. If you didn't read the comic books, you don't know what happened. And, I don't want to read the comic books. I want to wait until the show's done, and then I'll double back for the comic books probably years from now. Because I want to stick with this. I don't want to confuse it because I'm hearing there's some differences and discrepancies. So I would rather watch first and go back. But I really want to know how she became a zombie because she looks horrible.
Yes, no legs, all that fun stuff. Yeah,
From all you see is spine, and there's... you know, what's left of entrails. You can see her spine. You can see the bones clearly through the face. The hair is gone. And these zombies are not like our zombies, you know. We have so many different types now. You have your fast-running, crazy zombies. You have your slow, shambling. And those are usually easily dispatched or shot to the head. These guys here, you can shoot them in the head. It may not kill them.
Yeah.
In Walking Dead, I think beheading them would probably be the only way to take them out. And even then, it's not 100% guaranteed that they go down and stay down. Mm-hmm. They'll still move. So, yeah, those are hard to kill. So you got to check out the show if you're not watching it. It's really good. I think they're doing something special the Sunday before Halloween. I think you get 2 hours or something like that. And then the show. So go check it out. That's a good thing to do for Halloween. Yes, this is part of our Halloween guide. Da-da-da-da.
Yay! Halloween. I love me some Halloween. I want a pumpkin.
I'm buying one this week.
Better go town a little bit and get me a pumpkin.
I'm buying one this week. This is the week that I buy the pumpkins. I put the rest of my gravestones out in the yard. I have one out, my headstone. I'll take a picture for y'all on Twitter.
Aww. See, I live out in the boonies, so there's no point. Nobody's going to see it.
Well, I'm always in competition with this lady that's two houses over in front of mine. And she brought it this year, so now I have to go. Man, I wasn't going to do anything, but I passed by yesterday. She's got ghosts hanging from the trees, and there are lighted ghosts in her garden. And I was like, it's on.
That's hot.
It is on. So I got to go out and put my gravestones a little closer to the street this year. They're going to be all out.
That's awesome.
All right, then, what you got?
All right. Capcom's top fighters battle it out at MCM Expo London Comic Con. It's events all over the place.
Yeah.
All right, so Capcom comes out fighting with the announcement that Street Fighter X Tekken Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Actioner Asura's Wrath will be playable at next month's MCM Expo London Comic Con. Not only is the legendary publisher bringing 20 consoles for show visitors to check out the new titles on, but Capcom is installing 2 full-size boxing rings at the MCM Expo to let gamers battle it out, with controllers, that is, in style. Street Fighter X Tekken sees 2 beat-em-up behemoths go head-to-head for the first time. Dozens of playable characters let you pit the likes of Ryu, Ken, and Chun-Li against Tekken heroes such as Kazuya, Nina, and King. Telling its epic tale of feuding gods through TV-style episodes, Asura's Wrath seamlessly blends relentless action with dramatic narrative, eliminating the traditional distinction between gameplay and cutscenes.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 adds 12 new legends to the already bulging Marvel vs. Capcom 3 roster, including Ghost Rider, Hawkeye, and Strider, not to mention 8 new stages and a refined fighting system. Other top publishers attending MCM Expo London Comic Con on the 28th through 30th of October include 2K Games, Namco Bandai, Nintendo, Pikubi, Rising Star, Square Enix, Tecmo Koei, THQ, Ubisoft, and WB Games. So yay! Alright, so if you want to check this out, I've got the links for everything where you can get tickets and all of that over at GameMatrix.com. Go check it out now.
All right, Jay was asking, in which burnout do we have? He can't hear us now, but I'm Twittering it, so you can check out my answer on Twitter if you like. I love me some burnout. See, that's one of my winter games. That's why I feel so bereft.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my winter games, as is Fable, as is Dragon Age. Maybe I'll pick up Dragon Age 2, as it used to be EverQuest. Man, spend all my time in Everfrost when it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Ice fishing.
I know.
Well, anyway, back to the news. I had a moment of nostalgia. So Amazon is let me say it like we say it in the South. Amazon's acting up.
Uh-oh. What are they doing?
In the other good way. Well, good for me, you. After years of turning the traditional brick-and-mortar bookstore business on its head, online retail giant Amazon is now taking aim at the publishing business. Yes, another fight is a-coming. I didn't see this one at all, honestly. Didn't see it coming. They're getting writers to ditch their publishers in favor of Amazon. Ooh, the company is scheduled to publish 122 books this fall in print and ebook form, according to a report from the New York Times. The move puts Amazon in more direct competition with some of its largest suppliers like Penguin, Random House, and Macmillan. You don't know who these people are?
Ooh.
Pick up your books and look at every book you have. Comes from these people.
Yes, no kidding. Those are like some of the top ones.
Ooh.
Holy ouch.
So now Amazon's publishing arm isn't just a side project either. The company hired publishing veteran Lawrence Kirschenbaum in May. I have no idea who he is, but that sounds serious. And it paid actress-director Penny Marshall of Laverne and Shirley, if you remember back in the day. Some of you are probably just now watching it for the first time if you're young. These reruns of Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, those shows. They offered her $800,000 for her memoir. And according to an NYT report. Last week, the company even signed a book deal with self-help guru Tim Ferriss. However, it's unknown just how many editors the company employs or how many books it has under contract. Amazon is able to sway authors to its cause because it's becoming increasingly good at offering them the kinds of services typically offered by publishers, like access to fans, sales data, analytics, and more. Mm.
Ooh, that is hot.
That's going to be the mother of all fights. Oh, my God, Amazon.
Wow. And I think they're going to win.
Oh, they're going to win. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to win, but it's going to be a hell of a fight. Macmillan and all of them are going to have to step up. They're drastically behind. There's such a gap in some of the older companies not realizing that you can't continue to do business the way that you did. You have to come into the digital space. You just have to. And you have to get into social space. You have to get a Twitter.
What are you talking about? I don't even own a computer.
All I use my computer for is typing up stuff.
Oh, wow. Some people, I don't know about y'all. I don't know how y'all do it.
Now, see, I'm actually curious now to know if these people have Twitters and Facebook pages, because I've never heard of them. I would follow them because I do write. I tell y'all, I have a pen name I write under, and this sounds very attractive to me. I don't know about you all. I can cut out the publisher. I can go straight to Amazon. Word.
That's what I was just thinking, too.
I got a dirty romance novel need publishing. So I'm just saying.
Ooh, Ginger wants to read this dirty romance novel.
I am still in flux. I will not let you read till it's done.
Okay.
I'm posting it on the site in chapters, and the people, I don't know if I want to call them my fans. I guess they are. They're very angry because they're waiting for the next chapter. So I guess they force me to keep writing. You know how you write and you're like, I'll put this away for a while. They're not letting me do that. So that's part of the reason why I did it. But, yeah.
Very nice. Dirty romance novel. That's so hot. All right.
Okay, while Ginger reads this, I'm going to find out if they have a Twitter. I'll let you know after she's done.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is just a short one. Alien Zombie Megadeth.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Alien Zombie Megadeth is a gloriously intense platform shoot 'em up. You are the lone spaceman doing boring space work on a random space platform in deep space when suddenly a huge, relentless alien force attacks. However, these are not your normal, everyday aliens. These are alien zombies. Even through his protective helmet, spaceman is sickened by their smelliness. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For the sake of humanity and spaceman's nostrils, you must take control of the ill-fated spaceman and fend off the alien zombie hordes. Alien Zombie Megadeth is an old-school 2D platform shoot-'em-up with the enemies coming at you from all sides and all shapes and sizes. You must blast them all to smithereens. All right, so what do we got? Intense action arcade, 80 levels, each with their own high score table, lots of game types including survival, adventure, baby rescue, bomb disposal, jetpack, and decoy pods, local multiplayer, 280 metal to earn, spacesuit unlockables, Steam achievements, and joypad support. So yes, this is a PC game, by the way, and it is on Steam, so you can head over to the Steam store. And first week at 25% off. So the usual price is $9.99, and I'm not doing the math, so whatever 25% is off of that.
All right, so here's what I found. I didn't get to check McMillan, but Random House does have a Twitter, and they do have
look
way
on Twitter and follows them.
Yeah, they have way more followers than Amazon.com does, ironically, at first glance. However, they have no self-publishing option, and I'm reading what Amazon has as self-publishing. And, oh, my God, they, you know what, they're going to win this fight. Tell you why. The stuff that they're offering, they allow you to go over and create a space. You can upload your book, your CDs, your MP3s, your videos. And they don't want any upfront investment. They're also going to format your book to sell in the Kindle store. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a juicy fight. So it looks like you get your book in the Kindle store and you can put up the hard copies and no upfront investment. I don't know that they edit your stuff, so if you can't spell, don't be writing books, okay? or get somebody to edit it for you. So, yeah, this looks interesting. I don't know about you, but I'm over here signing up. Anyway. All right, back to more news. I'm sorry, I got all off to the side on that. Apparently, there's some images floating around of the new iPhone 5. Actually, no, that's pretty old. I thought it was new. Why'd they do that? Do you know why they do that? Why do they give us the stuff and then it's not new? Well, let me tell you about Vivo, because this is juicy. And then we're going to have to go.
Yes, we are.
Music video site Vivo are eyeing new features and a new editorial director as well. The music video site jointly created by YouTube and music labels is eyeing a new editorial focus with the hire of veteran journalist Jim McNee, and I even know who he is, and good God, juicy. He's going to be editorial director. McNee, who previously served as managing editor of VH1.com for nearly a decade, will help maintain a consistent editorial voice on all of Vivo's offerings, including its website, mobile apps, and connected TV apps. Vivo currently boasts that it has a catalog of 45,000 music videos and original programming. This news marks a new direction for Vivo, which initially began as a way for YouTube to offer high-quality, legitimate music videos. Music videos will still be the mainstay of the site, but the additional editorial coverage could help it find a larger audience. Vivo showed impressive growth last year when it reached 140 million unique visitors globally. And that's because they force you to go there to look at the videos. That's not – oh, child. McNee, of course, will report to Scott Reich, who's Vivo's VP of Original Content and Programming. His work has previously appeared in New York Times, The Boston Globe, and The Village Voice, among other publications. And, again, I stress cute. All right. So after that, we're going to have to go. Let our gender rest.
Yes.
As usual, you know where to find us. Don't they know where to find us?
They should. GamingHX.com, Gamer Girls Radio, Facebook, Second Life, Twitter, Lord of the Rings Online, whatever Corey's playing right now.
Hero Clicks.
I don't know. Are we on Google Plus yet?
Yes, we are.
Yes. We're on Google Plus. There might even be an old MySpace. I don't know.
There is an old MySpace, sadly.
But don't go there.
Yeah, don't go there. Well, it's updated daily. It's linked to everything. I linked it and left it. There you go.
Oh, cool.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man,
that's
baby, I'm in love with you.
Miss
Pac-Man, baby, I'm gonna love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm gonna love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho. Baby, I'm in love with you. Hey ho.
Yeah, when I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots, because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh, no.
That is why I love you, Miss Pac-Man.
All right, Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah.